Heavenly Father, we are coming to you that this day, this hour of the day, to thank you, to praise you, to glorify you in the name of Jesus. We come before your throne of grace and mercy, Father, unwarranted, but Lord, because you are loving and kind and merciful, we're coming pleading the blood of Jesus to wash us and cleanse us. And Lord, let us have ears to hear, a mind to understand, and a heart to receive it and to live by what we hear today. Father, we need you. We need you in every aspect of our lives. We need you every, like the breath that you give us, we breathe. We need everything from you, Father. And Lord, we want to be able to not just hold what you give us, but to help others in this life that we live. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for the things that we've done that have grieved your spirit. And Lord, as we are being washed right now by the blood of Jesus, we thank you for that. We thank you that you hear our prayers and you answer our prayers in your time. But Lord, we know right now that you hear our prayers, and we thank you for that, Father. So Lord, today we lift you up, we glorify you, we honor you, Father, for all that you are. And we honor you, Father, because you are the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. There's no one your equal. And we come in Jesus' name to praise you, to glorify you. So, Lord, this morning, as we're gathered together as one body in Christ, we ask, Lord, that your will be done. And that, Lord, you would allow everything that you want done, done, and that we would hear what you want us to hear. Bless those that are on this call. Bless those that will call in. Bless those that have a desire to call in but unable to, Father, that may listen to this message later on. Listen to your word. It's not a message. Listen to your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Father, let your word do what you want it to do in each of our lives. Let our needs be less, Father, because you said you would meet our needs. Let our hearts be in one accord with you today. Let our mind become focused under the umbrella of who you are and how much you love us. Lord, we thank you. Bless Alexandra as she reads your word. Give her, Father, eyesight to see it. Give her heart to feel it. Give her mouth to be able to speak it out, Lord God, in a way, Lord, that we hear from you. It's the voice of you speaking through Alexandra. And, Lord, I pray that you touch Jeanette as she bring forth the understanding of your word, that you would give her divine revelation that she hasn't had before, that, Lord, it would be just what you have for each and every one of us. For your word is a two-edged sword, Lord. It cuts in both ways. So, Lord, we ask that you would have your way today. Block all anything that would want to cause chaos or destruction or stop this service from happening, Lord. We ask, Father, that your anointing would fall afresh and anew right now. Fall down on us. Come down, Holy Spirit. Come down. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you to come in. Come in and have your way. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it, Father. Now, Lord, we ask that we would be blessed by what you give us, and let us, Lord, be a blessing to others. Let us not just hear today, but let us be doers of what we hear and be joyful doers of what you want us to do. We bless you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to be in the book of John the Gospel, not the first, second, and third. Those are the epistles. We're going to be in John chapter 11. And we're going to be talking about the story of Lazarus, and a lot of us know the story, but this is where we are today. So let's see what the Lord has to say about it.
Amen.
All right.
Verse 1. Mm-hmm. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrance oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that.
Stop there for a second. Lazarus was from Bethany, and in the region that Jesus often walked, you know, Galilee and, you know, the different places that Jesus walked, Jerusalem, Bethany was a place that he often stayed. When I say stayed, he spent the night often with Lazarus, Mary, and her sister Martha. That was one of the homes that were open to him. Remember, the word says that foxes had holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.
Yeah.
So when Jesus began his ministry of the 3 short years, often he would go from place to place to whoever opened the door. Just so you know. Keep going.
When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there?"
Let's stop for a second. I want to back up again. Doesn't this read a little strange? "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard the news that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was.
Mm-hmm.
I want to challenge us today that sometimes God will delay the answer to your prayers because he loves you.
Amen.
And that's not easy for us to endure down here because we don't see the bigger picture. But here he's saying he loved them, so when he heard he was sick, he delayed. Keep going.
Verse 8. The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." I'm going to pause because I'm sure you have something to say.
So the disciples here, as we are, we're down here, and I encourage us all the time to try to look at both realms, but sometimes that's hard to do unless the Lord opens your eyes to see the bigger picture. So from the disciples' point of view, why are we going to go back that way when there's Jews there that have are tried to stone you there? That's not wise. But Jesus comes back and he answers and he says, as long as we stay in the daylight, we're fine. If you travel at night, that's when you might stumble. It was almost like a foretelling of when he was going to be crucified. Remember how the Jews came in the night to crucify him?
Yes.
Because they didn't want to do it in front of people? Interesting. But Jesus is saying there's 12 hours in the day. As long as we're walking and the brightness and everything's around us, we're fine. And Jesus knows when his time was.
Yeah.
So he's not worried about going back. And then he says, "Our friend Lazarus is sleeping. I'm going to go wake him up." Keep going.
Verse 12. Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Continue.
What do you think is happening there when Jesus says, Lazarus is dead, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. What do you think is happening there? Why is he saying, I'm glad I wasn't there?
Because he loved Lazarus so much that he wouldn't have died if Father God was there. But now that he wasn't there, they get to see his glory.
Look at how Jesus has processed this. Now, remember, he's in the flesh. He's half God, half man. So he's in the flesh, and it is almost as though he didn't anticipate Lazarus's death.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's saying, sure, glad I wasn't there. Which means even Jesus, who had to wake up early in the morning to hear from his Father, was relied on his spirit.
Yeah.
I want you to see something in this. So Jesus immediately is being led by the Spirit, and he's told that he's going to go and wake Lazarus up, and it'll be to the glory of God. But I want, before Jesus saw that, and he gets the message that Lazarus is sick, and he immediately tarries there. The Holy Spirit is communicating with him. His spirit, the spirit of the living God that lives in him, is communicating with him. We have to learn to listen instead of panic when we hear something. Jesus could have easily just ran. Oh, no, Lazarus is sick. Let me get there right now. He's, you know, somebody I love. Now, I want to also bring this up. He says Jesus loved Martha, his sister, and Lazarus. Does that mean that he loved them, that he didn't love other people? Why would Jesus say, now Jesus loved Martha, his sister, and Lazarus? Why would he say that?
For us to understand the level of love.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that Jesus loves some people and...
No, not at all.
Not worth mentioning that he loves others?
No,
no,
I think
the type
of relationship. I'm sorry, Terrell, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just think that he mentioned how much he loves them because I think he knew that he was going to let Lazarus die, right? So he can come and, like someone said earlier, help glorify himself. You know, I think that the people around him would probably look at him and say, you're going to let this man die? You must not care about him. So he has to say, hey, I love these people very dearly. And then the answer comes out in the end, right?
Mm-hmm. You have so many dynamics here, though, too. I think, you know, you have Father God in the flesh, so you got that flesh thing working. Then the heart condition of the Holy Spirit. Like, I think there's a lot of dynamics going on, but if they mentioned that the fact that he loved them, that's telling us the type of relationship that was had there. Not that God doesn't love everyone, but it was important for us to know how much he loved these three right here. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been mentioned.
Richard?
I agree. I think it was relationship-driven. I mean, the more you have a relationship with a person, the closer you are to that particular person or those particular people. So I think it was definitely relationship driven that he would say that he loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So it's like with God, if we don't have a relationship with God, we say we can't really say we love him because we don't spend time with him. And so he obviously was the time spent, the things that they have done in the past. So the relationship was deep there.
Yeah.
Where I'm going with this is the closer people become, and Richard's talking about relationship driven, the closer you become to the Lord, just like any relationship, do you love somebody like you? Let's take your family members. There are family members that you are closer to because you spend more time with them.
Right.
Because you talk together.
Mm-hmm.
Because you walk together.
Yeah.
Mary and Martha followed Jesus. They helped support mm-hmm. his ministry. Mm-hmm. The Bible says it was often women that were helping to support Jesus' ministry. When they said that they carried a bag of money, where do you think it came from? It came from people that believed in the ministry and were supporting it.
Yes.
So he says he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. I'm going to change this a little bit. Because when I read this earlier this week, what came to me is they were his friends. He stayed at their house. Are you a friend of Jesus? Would you say, now they'll say, you'll hear songs like, oh, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and oh, a friend we have in Jesus. We've all heard those songs. But are you mm-hmm. a friend to him?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, we can say all these things that Jesus is a friend. He does not call us a servant, but he has called these disciples friends.
Mm-hmm.
Friends. Why did the disciples get that? I have not called you servants, but I've called you friends. Because Jesus walked with them.
Mm-hmm.
He spent time with them. They spent time with him. Mm-hmm. He knew they had his back as best as they could. They qualified as friends. Are you a friend of Jesus, or is Jesus just a friend of yours?
Good question. Amen.
That's good.
Every one of us would say, oh, Jesus is my friend. But are you a friend to him? Would he say that about you?
Mm.
Just stop for a second and just think about that. What are the characteristics of a friend?
Mm. Well, if we look at Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, there you go.
Open their doors, help him. They supported him.
Mm-hmm. He could count on them.
He can count on them. They walk with me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They walk with me. You start walking in sync with the Spirit of God within you. You start walking with Jesus. And you just get closer and closer. And then you start becoming a little different. The things that used to excite you in the world don't excite you anymore. The things that you used to do, you don't want to do anymore.
Mm.
When you hear offensive language or you hear offensive jokes, it's not funny anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
When those things in your flesh well up that are contrary to your friend, you don't want to give in to that. You quickly pull it back because you know it offends your friend.
Mm.
When you are a friend, anybody that is not a friend of your friend is not your friend.
Mm. Mm.
You're protective of your friend.
Mm. Yeah.
You care about what your friend cares about. That's what it kind of looks like. Do you care about the things that your friend cares about? Do you care about the things that the Lord cares about? Or do you just care about all your own personal stuff and ask your friend for help most of the time? Hey, I got this real good friend that if I ever need anything, I can go to him. Yeah, well, does that person ever come to you? Can he? Or when he comes to you, does he get a bunch of excuses? You go to him. Oh, I'm short on my rent this month. Lord, I need your help. Can you help me with my rent? This, that, the other. No problem. I know you have needs. You're my friend. How much do you need? Ask specifically. I'll help you. Now he comes back and says, oh, by the way, I got somebody down the street. They're lonely. They're hurting. I need you to knock on their door on my behalf.
Yes.
Not today, Lord. A little busy. You know what? If you had just asked me this yesterday, I probably could have done it. But today, I'm just kind of tied up with some things. I really got to get the yard done today. What kind of friend are you to him? I think everyone on this call can talk about what kind of friend he is to you. When you come to a friend, do you only come with all of your stuff? Or do you come to a friend to find out anything I can do for you? Need help with anything? Want me to pray about anything? Are you really doing okay? Do you stop for 2 minutes to even look at that person? To see where they are before you go on a tangent about all your needs? That's what friendship looks like. And that's what Jesus had in Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. When the friendship flows both ways, it causes a tighter relationship. Ask yourself, what kind of friend are you to the Lord? Do you ask him in the morning, what can I do for you? Or is your prayers all about what he can do for you?
Amen.
Amen.
Now, even them being his friends and having been a friend to him, Jesus carries, which looks like, wow, that's how you treat your friends? This is where trust comes in. They're trusting that Jesus is their friend, but now Jesus isn't acting like it. And let's see the results of that. Keep going.
Verse 16. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us all go that we may die with him.
Stop right there for a second.
Yeah.
Wait, that's what? Good. This must be Doubting Thomas, who's later called Doubting Thomas. You ever have these naysayers around you?
Mm-hmm.
Good grief. You're trying to walk in faith and listen, and Jesus is Jesus, but apparently Thomas isn't really sure of that yet. And Jesus says, well, let's go. And he says, all right, let's all go so we can die with him. Naysayers. Do you think that Thomas was the devil?
No.
Do you think
no.
that? What do you? How would you categorize what's going on right there? What
with
would you
Thomas?
Say about this? Yes.
I would say, yeah, doubtful, but I don't say he was the devil.
He certainly
still
was not.
A little convincing. Yeah.
He certainly was not. Remember this. Jesus selected Thomas.
Yeah.
Jesus selected Thomas. And there was only one that he selected that he said was the son of perdition or the son of sin. That was Judas.
Right. Right.
So this is just plain Thomas's mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because Thomas isn't there yet. Thomas is trying to get there. Thomas is walking with Jesus.
Yep. Exactly.
Thomas has seen many, many miracles, signs, and wonders.
Isn't it healthy, though, to have someone that doubts? Isn't it healthy to have a difference of opinion, someone who sees it from a different direction? Doesn't that help other people think about their position and how they feel?
Sure, that's a good one, yeah.
That could be helpful, Terrell. But in a case like this, where we need to go back, we need to trust Jesus. Jesus says we're going back, then we're going back. And we need to trust His judgment, God's judgment.
Amen.
We don't need somebody striking fear into the heart of everybody else in the group.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know where everybody else is in their walk. There's somebody in that group that may have been just holding on with a thread themselves. And then you come up and say the very thing they're afraid of, we're all going to die. You're shattering other people's faith when you are expressing your lack of it. There are people in the group that can pick you up and lift you up and remind you this is Jesus we're walking with. He's got us. But there's other people in the group that are not necessarily there yet either, and they're just trying to hold their peace and go along and trust Jesus. Well, he's known what he's doing up to now.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then somebody comes along with their naysaying self and says, well, I guess we'll all just die. Come on, guys. Let's go with him and we'll all die there together. Sometimes a different perspective is okay, but often this kind of talk is very destructive to everyone under the earshot of it. It undermined Jesus' leadership right then and there. Jesus says we're going back, then that must be what we need to do. I'm sure when it says the disciple said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going to go there again? The disciples already had doubt and fear. So when he turns around and says, yep, all right, we'll go. Come on, everybody. Let's just all go die together. That's not helpful. Now, when you're among God's people and you have doubts, can you express that?
Sure.
Because that's how we'll help each other grow. That's how we'll help each other stand up.
Yep.
But sometimes, it's hard. Sometimes it can shatter somebody else's faith.
Yep.
So definitely consider who you're talking to when you're sharing doubt. How about you're sharing your doubts with a new Christian who doesn't even know if they half believe this or not? Well, you're a Christian and you say God will, you know, help you get a job, but I don't know, I've been unemployed now for 7 months, and I don't have a job yet, and it's been hard. And then you turn around and say, yeah, you're kidding, you know, God might answer, but who knows when, and I don't know, have you considered homelessness?
Ouch.
Has that helped?
No.
No. The person's struggling with their faith, or they're young in the walk. They need to hear of the goodness of God.
Yeah.
They need to know that if Jesus says this is the path, that's the path I'm going. And if this is the path he has me on, that's the path I'm on until he takes me to another path. Okay, Thomas is consistent.
Yes.
Even after all the disciples said, hey, we saw the Lord, he says, I'm not going to believe it till I see the nail prints in his hand. So obviously, Thomas has a real problem with faith. Okay, keep going.
Thomas is real. I just want to say that, even today.
Yeah, sure.
He's so real, so real. Verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the woman around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Ooh, that's powerful.
Jesus, yeah, I want to stop right there. I want us to look at this. We got two sisters. Both of them love Jesus dearly.
Mm-hmm.
Mary hears he's coming, and she just stays in the house. Martha goes out, and Martha says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. What do you think about that? Do you think that we should be able to approach the Lord like that?
Absolutely.
Something happens that we don't like. We might lose a child. We might lose a loved one.
Absolutely.
And you're saying, Lord, you know, I sent for you. What does that mean? I prayed. I sent for you. I called on your name. And you didn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
If you had been here, this wouldn't have even happened. What do you think about that?
I say yes.
The way God wants.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Talk about a teachable moment. She was speaking
from
the heart.
We go through this. Yes.
Yep.
This is what
Amen.
We feel. This is real. Remember, they are friends.
Yep.
When you have a friend, you can be honest with your friend. You're
yes.
not fooling Jesus to come and say, oh, glad you came. You know, you missed the party.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, Lazarus died, but it's cool. You weren't here, so, you know, it's all good. It wasn't all good.
Mm-mm.
And if that's what you're feeling, talk to the Lord sincerely. This is how you maintain the relationship. It is no different than here on earth. If you can't go to somebody and say, I am offended, this hurt me. Why weren't you there? I needed you. If you can't do that, then how much of a friendship do you even have?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
If it's the kind of friend that all you can say is good things.
One-sided.
It's just try to act like everything's fine when it's not. That's what kind of friendship is it? Because it's not a friendship in truth.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let your relationship with God be a friendship in truth.
Ooh, preach.
If you feel like he's let you down, tell him.
Mm-hmm.
He's okay with that. You're his friend.
Amen.
And you say, well, I know, Lord, that, and what does she say? She prefaces it by the end, but even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, I know, Lord, that you, even now, you could, you know, that, but it's too late for Lazarus. I'm just saying, he's dead. Why, Lord? Keep going.
I just want to emphasize again before I continue, verse 22. But even now, she says, but even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, pregnant pause, God will give you. Even now.
But then you're going, to see what Martha's talking about. She still does not believe he can raise him from the dead. Keep going.
Verse 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Okay. I gave her too much credit.
She's still saying the same thing. Yes, yes, Lord, I know you could. You could have, and if you ask, but, you know,
Yeah.
This deal is pretty done.
Mm-hmm.
If you had been here, it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
If she was where it, you almost think she is in the previous verse, then you would, she would have said, so, hey.
What time?
Dead, yeah. But, yeah. Here's the tomb, Lord. Get to it.
You going to join us for dinner or what? Yeah,
exactly. And so what does Mary do or Martha do here? She does what so often we do. When we have given up or we're not really believing anymore that the decision has been made, it's final. Then we just line it up with Scripture and we leave it alone.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what else to do.
True.
She says, yeah, I know. He'll rise and resurrection and whatever. Of course he will. But sure would have been nice to have him still here with us today. That's all I'm saying. She's already given up. She doesn't know Jesus this way.
Mm-hmm.
She knows him as a teacher. She knows him as a rabbi. She knows him as a healer. But does she know him in divinity? Keep going.
Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Ugh. Should I stop right there or continue? That's so
nope.
Awesome.
But see, look at how he's answering the 24. I know that you will rise again and in the resurrection on that last day. And he says, actually, I am the resurrection and the life. Yes.
Woo.
I am.
Come on.
Woo,
that's powerful.
I am.
Yes.
This isn't something that I can do. This is I am life. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, though you were dead, yet shall you live. Now, is Martha understanding any of this? No.
Sorry, going over her head. No.
No.
It will go mine, yeah.
But she has sense enough that she says, well, do you believe this? Yes, Lord. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God. Yeah, I believe you. But that's as far as she can go. She doesn't know anymore else.
Right.
Okay. 27.
All right. Well, you did it already. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is to come into the world. Verse 28. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now
stop
Jesus...
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Mary is upset. Mary has stayed in the house. Mary is missing it.
Yes.
The master is outside. He's communicating. He's talking. And your sister is in the house, just so many feet away, missing it.
Yes.
And she secretly runs and tells her, hey, the Lord's asking for you. Did we read anywhere that he said, go get Mary?
Nope.
No. But what do you do when you love somebody?
Yes.
You find a way to bring them to Jesus. He's right outside.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
She doesn't leave her sister in that state. Well, she's depressed. She ain't feeling it right now. And kind of she's mad at Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Jesus is here. She heard it when they said he's the master's coming up the road. Mary sat in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But her sister did not leave her there.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes you got to go back and take the person's hand.
Come on.
And bring them to the Lord. Don't let the person miss out. Help them.
Yes.
That is one of the most beautiful things ever. she sees her sisters in this depressed state, and she knows, but if I told her Jesus asked for her, she'll come.
Mm.
So she goes in and she says, Jesus is asking for you. And immediately Mary comes up, well, if he's asking for me, I'm coming. Sometimes we've got to bring our loved ones out of a state into the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Don't leave them there and say, well, that's what, I don't know what to do. They're mad, so I can't help that. Bring them to the Lord. How do we bring them to the Lord?
Tell the word. And the word is here. Share the word.
Amen.
Share the word. Pray for them. Lord Jesus, help her. Don't leave her in the kitchen.
Yes.
Help her. She's upset. Her faith isn't where mine is today, where I'm just going to come out and talk to you about it. She's in the kitchen upset.
Mm.
She's grieving, Lord. That's how we stand in the gap for one another.
Yes, hallelujah. Be bold about it. Yes. Yes.
Figure out. Be led. Use discernment. See where that person is instead of just washing your hands. Quick. Hey, she's in a bad mood. I'm done. I can't help her. She's in a bad mood. Help one another. Go get that person. Bring that person to Jesus. Lord Jesus, my sister's in the kitchen and she's in a bad way.
Amen.
It's just beautiful.
Yes.
Martha's receiving from the Master. He's talking about he's the resurrection and the life. He is pouring his word into Martha, and she says, I'm going to go get my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell her about it later. Well, honey, you really missed out because I understand you was grieving, and you really missed out because the Lord was talking about he's the resurrection and the life, and something inside of me when he speaks is on fire and just takes off.
Preach
I feel
it.
Like I'm being washed over. My grief is being contained.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let somebody I care about miss this. That's how you ought to feel about your salvation. What a beautiful thing. How can you not share it with people that you love?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Ooh.
Richard has a question.
I think that's so beautiful. I don't know if we could keep going. Right, really, for real. I'm going to let you go first, Richard. That was awesome.
Yeah, it is so overwhelming. It is unbelievable, but it is truly is. It's something else that is there that I think we should touch on, too, because it talks about they were only 2 miles from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And it says many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them. Well, in that time, rabbis were not teaching the women.
True.
What did she call Jesus when she talked to Mary? She
teacher.
Called him teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He had just gave her information in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life.
Yeah. Ooh.
And then she went to Mary. She didn't go openly, hey, Mary. She pulled Mary aside because all of the Jews were there, rabbis, who know that they don't talk to women.
Yeah, secretly.
But the teacher was in the house because Jesus had been teaching them.
And he was teaching them all women and children in every multitude.
The multitudes
followed him, and he's teaching everybody.
Yeah, the teacher.
And the women followed Jesus all the time. They were right there with the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
First person he meets at the... Okay, you were going to say something, Alexandra?
Yeah, absolutely, because for me, this is what resonated, and I'm guilty of this. So many times, we allow our loved ones to walk around as a victim. And I put a pregnant pause there. You know when someone is hurting. You know you have that word. You know that you have just heard the resurrection and the life. You know you need to go to that person and say, hey, listen, come. Hey, listen, do.
But no, you let them wallow in their grief and their despair and their unforgiveness or whatever it may be. What a valuable lesson. We must be bold about saving the ones that we love if we truly love them. If we truly love them. So I just had to reiterate that. That was so powerful. Thank you, Miss Jeanette and Richard. I will continue with verse 29. Are we ready?
Yep. Yes.
As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Question mark. And I'm sure my sister Jeanette has something to say on that.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Then Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
One of the most beautiful themes in this, or another beautiful theme in this, is that our Heavenly Father knows that our thinking and our faith is extremely finite.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he
yes.
asked Martha the question, "Do you believe?" And Martha says, "Yeah, sure." But all she could answer is that she believes all that she had seen.
Right. Right.
She did not know that this, what he's asking is, "Do you believe I have authority over death?" She didn't recognize the question as that. So he comes back and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." She still doesn't recognize he's saying, "I have authority over death."
Mm.
Now they know he has authority over death.
Yeah. Mm. Hallelujah.
All of those who called him great teacher, rabbi, know that he is more than a great teacher. He is more than a rabbi. He is divine in nature. And even though she could say, well, I know that you're the Son of God, do you really understand it? This is what the Lord does with us on our walk. You get experience after experience after experience. And he's showing you who he is. Because we come with such a limited view of who God is. And even though we say, well, I can say I know who God is, and no, I know God can do all things, he cries, he strengthens me. We can quote all these scriptures, but do we know that?
Yeah.
I'll tell you when you know it. You know it when you begin to see it happening in your life. All of a sudden, I have victory over alcohol or drugs or sex addiction or whatever it is. I have victory. How do you have victory? And why is he doing it? So that you can see how powerful he is, who he really is. You can't say, oh, I got this good friend, and you don't even know him.
Hallelujah.
But the more time you spend with him, the better you will know him. And now we have 1 minute left to do communion.
I want to say one thing.
Okay.
I have to. I'm bursting at the seam. So what I love about Father God is that he will always meet you where you are. No matter, you know what I mean? Like with the Jews, the Jews believe that when a person dies, right, that we have up until 3 days in which the spirit can re-enter the body. So Father God was intentional about making it the fourth day so he can nail it. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Like, oh, my goodness. Okay, I just had to get that out. Hallelujah.
Most people don't think that you can be risen from the dead anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and then the Jews have a limitation on what God can do.
Right.
Three days, and then the spirit's gone.
Right.
But he met everybody where their faith was.
Was. Woo! On that fourth day. Come on.
And then he elevates it.
Yeah.
Then he elevates it. Shows you a little bit more. So
Amen.
He is the resurrection and the life. We're going to quickly, Lord, we're not rushing through communion.
No.
So forgive me for that. Not too long after this incident, the very next verse in the very next chapter or very next verse talks about from that point on, you know, the Jews really at that point wanted to see him dead. Many of the Jews who came, the Pharisees then quickly began to plan the death of Jesus because this is too much now. He's raising people from the dead. We're going to lose complete control. Jesus knew this. And he chose to do what he did anyway.
Yes.
He said that he is the resurrection and the life. And though we are dead, yet shall we live. Then he conquered death completely by going through the agonizing night that he was soon to face. In Gethsemane, he knew why he was there, and he was still willing to be there.
Yes.
I'm asking that when we find ourselves in a place and we know God has led us there and it becomes difficult, stay the course.
Amen.
Stay the course. It wasn't easy for our Lord and Savior. It's not going to be easy for you.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
But stay the course. Know why you're there. Know that it's God leading you.
Mm-hmm.
As Jesus faced that time, he said that often that we should come together and break the bread and drink the wine. And as we do this, remember what the cost was. Remember what he went through when our sins were placed on him.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not take sin lightly in our lives. Be careful of saying, well, I'm forgiven, And so you go and you continue in sin. This came at a very, 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 very great price that you could be forgiven.
Yes.
So he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat, all of you. Remember, repent, anything that's come into your mind before you take and eat the bread, ask the Lord for forgiveness. Take, eat, all of you. This is my body, which will be broken for you. Do this in memory of me. We stand on this. We're standing on him being the resurrection and the life. We're standing on it.
Yes.
When we keep reviewing what happened, this is how we're standing on it.
Yes.
We're saying we're not standing by our broken bodies, we're standing by his.
Yes.
The blood has covered us.
Yes.
It was the antidote for sin.
Yes.
When we take the wine, we think about his blood that was shed, and we are participating in his suffering so that we can participate in life. Everlasting.
Yes.
Jesus is the firstborn among all of us.
Yes.
All of us will be resurrected.
Yes.
As he was.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Drink. Praise his holy name.
Amen.
Thank you for his sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Receive it in faith.
Thank you, Lord.
Let your faith be strengthened this
praise
day.
Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Let his thank covering you, and his spirit Lord. Abide in you, strengthen
thank
you,
you
keep you,
oh,
direct you, talk
you.
To you. Lord, that everybody that has participated
Lord.
Today, Lord, I'm asking you that
thank
we have a closer
Lord.
Relationship with you.
Yes, Lord.
Help
yes,
us
Lord.
To be the Lord. Friend to Lord. You Hallelujah. That you have been to us before we
yes,
were even
Jesus.
Born when you made the sacrifice.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord thank Jesus.
The sacrifice that you made on our behalf that we were not even
yes.
thought of yet, but in the mind of God already.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you.
So we thank you, Lord. We
thank
you.
Father. Praise you, Lord.
Help us to be as good a friend to you as you
yes.
have been to us,
please,
Lord.
Father.
Yes, Father God. Thank you.
Please, Father.
Jesus. Not a selfish friend that just knows we
oh,
can depend
yes,
on you for what we want, and we bring nothing
yes,
to the table.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
You call on
yes.
us, and we're not there.
Yes.
Help us to do better, Lord
please,
Jesus.
Please.
Help
please.
Us to grumble less and
yes.
give thanksgiving that you should ask us to do anything. We should be grateful.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Father God.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Blessings to everyone. Thank you so much.
And
until
have
next
a wonderful
week.
Day.
You too.
And
bye-bye. Love you guys.
Bye-bye. See everyone later.
Bye-bye, Carol. Nice to see you.